May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 711. Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ, my hiding place. 711.
Thank you. the Lord help us to read the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, the ruler over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master? And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is a room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me," that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told mine errand." And he said, "Speak on." And he said, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, 'Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son.' And I said unto my master, 'Peradventure the woman will not follow me.' And he said unto me, 'The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give thee not one, thou shalt be clear from my oath.' And I came this day unto the well, and said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels, there the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son.' And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. It came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. The servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10, after that she should go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. They called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we thank thee for thy word which we have read. Those wondrous things that thou hast done and art yet doing for thy people, and those wondrous things which thou wilt yet do for them. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be manifestly our God this evening, that thou wouldst do those things in us, reveal those things to us, and let thy work appear in such a way as we shall, like Eliezer, fall down and worship thee. Oh, we pray, Lord, for real worship. What a blessed thing it is. Oh, but it is only of thee. They that worship thee, thou hast said, must worship thee in spirit and in truth. Save us from all fleshly imitation. Save us from fleshly deceit, satanic deceit. O Lord, leave none of us to be deceived in this great matter. Lord, how we read those solemn things in thy word of those that did not worship thee aright. Oh, thou wast unto them a consuming fire. Oh, we pray then that thou wouldst teach us how to worship thee and enable us to worship thee, to worship God in his Son by the operation of the Spirit in reverence, with that godly awe upon our spirit, in humility, in true God-given faith and hope and love. Oh, may we find tonight, and now abideth faith, hope and charity. For the greatest of these is charity. Lord, it abideth in thee, and thou dost abide in thy people. Oh, we pray tonight to know we're among those people in whom thou dost abide. We might be caused to abide in thee by thy abiding in us. Oh, Lord, oh, have mercy then. Oh, and if thou hast not come and begun to dwell in us, do begin tonight. Lord, if we have wandered far from thee as we often do, oh, do come into our hearts the spirit of chastening, rebuke, conviction of sin, and the giving of godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. We ask for thy spirit, Lord. Oh, do grant that springing up of that well, the water of life. Lord, we pray for fresh living water. Let the skies pour down righteousness, we pray. Let our souls live. Oh, do grant, Lord, we pray that we may be favoured with thy gracious presence. The Lord is in this place. This is none other than the house of God, the very gate of heaven. Oh, we pray, Lord, for the glory of thy name, that thou wouldst speak to thy people. Thy sheep hear thy voice. Thou dost know them and they follow thee. Favour thy sheep and lambs tonight to hear thy voice and follow thee. Lord, we pray, minister to thy people in their needs. Lord, we know them not. Thy people themselves cannot wholly understand them, nor do they know them at all, except as thou dost make them known. Lord, we pray that thou supply all our need according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus, for thou knowest our need. We may have wants, but thou knowest our need. Do make us want what we need. Lord, hear the cry of the needy. Fulfill the desire of those that fear thee. For thou hast said the needy shall not always be forgotten. Lord, thou art the friend of the needy and the faint, as thou art the friend of sinners, the helper of the helpless. Oh, do us good, then, we pray. Pardon our sins. Oh, we pray for true godly sorrow. Oh, make us to loathe our sins. Take away the love of sinning. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst grant us that thy servant David wrote of, that time when he was blessed with it himself. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou not despise. Forgive our hard-heartedness. Forgive our lame confessions, which are only lip confessions. Lord, forgive our lame prayers, which are just words. Lord, forgive all our hypocrisy. Lord, save us, we pray. Oh, make us real Christians. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. We pray for thy people in their trials and tribulations. Let thy judgments help us. Uphold us, Lord, fulfill thy promise. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Lord, concerning thy chastisements, thou hast said, nevertheless, afterward they yield the peaceable food of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Lord, save us from all our unexercisedness. Lord, all right exercise is thy work. Oh, we pray then, exercise us in that examination of ourselves as thy servant Paul exhorts. Lord, and we plead mercy. Oh, that we might be partakers of thy holiness, Lord. We've certainly none of our own. But how easy it is to say that. But Lord, when thou dost make us to feel it, Lord, until thou dost show thy Son, we can see no way we can be saved. Oh, Lord, we pray then, have mercy. Bless this people. We thank thee for thy mercies to us each since we last met, and thy mercy in gathering us together safely. Oh, we do thank thee for thy daily provision, and thy daily forbearance, hourly, momently forbearance with us, and thy goodness to us. Bless this people. Do them good as they meet together. Grant them a living ministry. May faith be mixed with what they hear. May there be those fruits answerable to repentance. Oh, Lord, do make this people a fruitful garden. Every branch in thee that beareth fruit, thou dost purge it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Lord, we pray for patience under thy purging. Lord, for the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain in his season. Bless the young. Be the guide of their youth. Bless to them the words we've read tonight. Lord, not only in the matter of seeking a husband or wife, but in everything in their lives. Bless it to each of us. We pray, Lord, for the newly married couples. We seek thy blessing on them. We pray for thy keeping. Keep them from falling. Oh, let their love to one another stand every trial. Oh, Lord, grant it day by day. Supply their needs. Bless them together. Bind them closer and closer together, we pray. Oh, Lord, that they may be favoured to realise they are heirs together of the grace of God. Lord, be merciful, we beg. Pardon all we ask wrong. Make up and give him what we need that we don't ask for. Bless the deacons of this cause in their labours. Bless that which is sung tonight. Help the church in all their concerns. Be the head of this church, we pray. In all things, get to thyself the preeminence. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 600. Truth and mercy meet together, righteousness and peace embrace. Each perfection of Jehovah meets and shines in Jesus' face. Here the Father can be just and saved by grace. Hymn number 600.
Thank you.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse 58. Genesis chapter 24, verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. It is noticeable, remarkable, that is, that the Holy Spirit has seen fit to give such a full account in this chapter of the events that took place on this day. A very long chapter, but all of one piece. Nothing else is mentioned in it, but the things that happen from the beginning to the end in this matter of the provision by God of a wife for Isaac. You see, marriage is the Lord's own institution. In the time of man's innocency, God said, it is not meet that man should dwell alone. I will make an help meet for him. He formed the woman from the man's rib and brought her to the man. Notice that. And it was the same thing done here. He that getteth a wife, or an husband, of course, from the Lord, getteth a good thing. Because the Lord always gives his people what is good. You know, he doesn't always give us what we ask. Because we're not always wise in our asking. But he always gives his people what is good. I know that is easy to say. I know it is not always easy to walk out. But I know that even in that difficult walking out of the path that the Lord calls all his people to tread, there is good in it. We know, said the apostle, that all things, not some things, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The Lord help you to pray on concerning your providences, but especially to begin to pray or to pray on concerning your soul. Well, the God who wrought in this chapter still works today. He is the same God. And if he calls you to seek, as he did cause Abraham and Eliezer, his servant, for his direction and his provision, he will not, he cannot fail you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. This woman was the Lord's choice for Isaac. Having said that, as we shall notice if the Lord help us, it was a perfect match. And what else could we expect when it is the Lord's choice? But you see, there was a willingness. The Lord never forces his people to do things. When we say it is his choice, he makes his choice his people's choice. It was the Lord's choice for Moses that he shouldn't dwell in the house of Pharaoh's daughter, that he should go out. And we read, by faith, Moses chose to go out, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, having respect to the recompense of the reward. And it is this willingness that was proved at this time. Eliezer, having recounted the wonderful way in which the Lord had wrought, and the account was such that Rebekah's father and brother could say nothing about the matter other than, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak good or evil. This is what we need, my dear friends. What are our opinions worth? Haven't some of us proved that our opinions are worth nothing? Haven't some of us proved that our bad opinion was worth nothing? Haven't some of us proved that our good opinion was worth nothing? But haven't some of us proved that God's will is perfect? God's way is perfect. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. You see, there was a natural desire. All this had happened so quickly. There was a natural desire for Rebekah's family to have her with them at least for 10 days. But Eliezer said, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Let me return to my master. And so they said, well, let us ask Rebekah herself. She will have the final say in this matter. We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And you see, that is how it must be. It isn't up to the parents. It isn't up to anyone else. It was a Rebekah that was to be married to Isaac. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Well, may the Lord bless to any here this evening who may be exercised even concerning this matter, whether the Lord will have them marry or not. May, through us reading this chapter and me making these few remarks, may the Holy Spirit bless him, so that there shall be a going forth in the footsteps of the flock. You know, that's one of the wonderful things about the Word of God. And if we're right, that is, if we're the Lord's people, right in Christ, the Word of God will become more and more precious to us as we get older. We read in the days of Samuel, when Samuel was born, there was no open vision in those days. The word of the Lord was precious. And so it is to the Lord's people, and will be so forever and forever. You see, the word of God tells us what the footsteps of the flock are. The word of God tells a young person or an old person then here the way you'll have them go in this matter. If thou know not how thou farest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Oh, how precious the Lord makes to his people his dealings with those of old. Have you ever found a brother or a sister in the Word of God? Your brother Jonah, in the belly of hell, cast out of God's sight, the earth with her bars about you forever. Your soul fainted in you, and you remember the Lord. And you said, I'll look again toward thy holy temple. Or David. Or Jacob. Have you been left alone like Jacob was left alone? Has the man come and wrestled with you as he wrestled with Jacob? You know, sometimes in our trials, we look at the Word of God and we sometimes get to that point where we're afraid to open it. Because all we seem to find in it is condemnation. But the Lord, sooner or later, causes us to find that the finding of condemnation is the way of life. If you never know condemnation from the Word of God, you'll never know Christ from the Word of God. You'll never know the comfort. But the thing on my spirit in coming here this evening is something much deeper than the providential side that this chapter sets forth, which though it is not to be despised at all, it is vital. Yet there is something better. There is something greater. There is something fuller. For in this chapter, and surely that's one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit writes in such detail and at such length, it is because he has something greater to speak here than the providential thing. When we think of a father seeking for his son a wife, does this set forth but God the Father? Seeking a wife for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see the Father sending his servant, Abraham sending his servant, the chief servant of his house, who is set forth there but the Holy Spirit. And when we read of the Father causing the servant to pledge his obedience, to solemnly vow to do that which his Lord commands him to do, what do we think of? But the eternal covenant made betwixt Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son solemnly undertaking in covenant to redeem all those whom his Father gave him. The Holy Spirit solemnly undertaking in covenant to quicken that same people and bring them to Christ, God's Son, to reveal his Son to them. And this account of this day therefore sets forth that day when God sends the Spirit to quicken every one of the Lord's people. When Rebecca rose from her bed that morning, she had no idea what was going to happen. So it is with a new birth. It is not, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You see, the infallible wisdom and power overruling of Almighty God, the Father knoweth the one unto whom he is sending the Spirit. But that one knows not the Father nor his Son. But God causes, as he calls Rebecca to be the one that came forth to that well, unto whom the servant spoke. So on every day when a child of God is set by covenant to be born again, it is them, not another. Whether it be a day when they come into the house of God, and through the reading of the word, the singing of the hymns, or the preaching of the Lord's servants, or the reading of a sermon, that person, the work is begun in them. It is them, not the person sat next to them in the pew. If it happen as they go about their daily life, it is them, not the next person in the office or the factory or on the farm or in the street. Foreknown, predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. It's the power of God then that does it. The power of God. Now the Holy Spirit engages his people. He speaks to them and causes them to speak to him. Oh, how this is so in the matter of conviction of sin. He convinces these people of their sins and causes them to acknowledge it and confess it before them. Think of the Saviour as he met that woman at the well of Samaria. Go, call thy husband. I have no husband. Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. He engages his people. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes to quicken a person for the first time, or every time the Holy Spirit's influence is put forth to quicken them to spiritual things, things concerning the house of Almighty God, they can't turn away from it. The work of the Holy Spirit, yes, it is resisted, but it can't be resisted. What I mean is, how we have a poor fallen nature which wants to go on in sin, which doesn't want to believe the things that the Holy Spirit tells us. But the power of the Holy Spirit is such that all resistance is overcome. But then, in those first operations of the servant, in the first contact between the servant and this girl, did she know what he was about? No. So it is with these quickened by the Holy Spirit. They do not know what the Lord is doing. They do not know it is the Lord. What do they know? They begin to feel what they never felt before. They begin to feel a need they never felt before. They listen to one they never listened to before. They listen to the Word of God like they never listened to it before. They are caused to consider their soul in a way they never considered it before. But they wouldn't say, I'm called by grace. No. Very often in the Lord's people's experience, their beginnings are very small. They're all brought to the same point, but at different rates, in different ways. Oh, it isn't the one that is most afflicted with terrors of hell. Although the Lord will cause this in some measure to be a very heavy thing. His soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. But who can say that a person must be to a certain depth or over a certain time, afflicted with these terrors of the law? No one. Because the Word of God doesn't say so. What the Word of God says is this, that he opens the hearts of his people to receive his word. They all come to that point under the conviction of the law, of being feelingly a lost, ruined, undone sinner. But then you see, as this conversation went on, setting forth the continuing work of the Holy Spirit, what did the servant do? He worshipped. Oh, there is that beautiful, glorious, eternal union betwixt the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. in the salvation of sinners. We read there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons that have no need of repentance. But then, you see, the servant, when the camels had done drinking, the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. These precious tokens that the Holy Spirit gives the sinner, he is quickening and leading. Still the sinner knows nothing really in the fullness of it of what the Holy Spirit is about. She certainly knows nothing of Christ yet. But she's given these tokens. I began this evening in setting forth the providential side of this account. It is a token from the Lord, a providential answer to prayer. And the proof that it is a token. What is a token? Surely it is not the full thing. If we think of a token may be given us, or we may obtain a token and we have to hand it to somebody in exchange for something. No, this is how the Lord works in granting his people these tokens. A signal answer to prayer. What a token it is. Of the Lord's favour, of the Lord's goodwill toward you. It's not salvation, but it's one of the things that accompanies salvation. It's a token of something greater yet to come. And who can tell, who can say how long it will be between the giving of the token and the bringing to know the heavenly Isaac? But then I want to come, particularly try and speak of this word. Wilt thou go with this man? Eliezer, in all that he did, he step by step spoke to this woman of the man, Isaac. And so it is. Perhaps there are those here this evening and you are troubled as to whether you're deeply convinced enough of your sin. You're troubled as to whether your conviction is of a natural type or spiritual. Well, I believe I can set before you one infallible thing from the scripture by which the matter may be decided. And it's this. Does the name of Jesus begin to mean something to you? Does it begin to mean everything to you? Are you drawn to this man, Christ Jesus? Because you know, those that just have a natural conviction of sin, they're never drawn to Christ. That's not my opinion, it's the Word of God. In that account, in the Gospels, of that woman that was taken in adultery in the very act and brought to the Lord Jesus, Jesus said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And they, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. You see, they went out. They were just convicted in their own conscience. But the Lord caused the woman to stay. Because she had a deeper conviction. And it was unto her, he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The Spirit then testifies of this man. Those rich gifts that were given. Oh, how they set forth the riches of Christ. Cast not your pearls before swine, said the Lord. What are those pearls? Every single word concerning Christ, who is the express image of God, that the Lord, the Spirit, has given you. If you talk to worldly people about personal experience of the Lord's dealings with you, they will turn again and rend you. What will they say? Oh, it's just your imagination. There are certain things which the Lord commands his people to speak as he enables them. They're not to hide their light under a bushel, but they're not to cast their pearls before swine. Now these pearls that the Spirit gives, these jewels, they're the truths concerning Christ. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. You see, the Holy Spirit gives it. Puts it on this sinner. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. You see, these riches, these pearls, they're given to poor people. The riches of Christ, the truth concerning who he is. Whose son is he? Whose son is he? Oh, have you ever had it spoken to you by the Spirit that the Lord Jesus is God's son? Co-equal and co-eternal with the Father? Oh, who less than that could cause you to say, I will go with this man? Will they go with this man? Yes, because he is the Son of the Father. He is Almighty. He is a Prince. Oh, what a title he hath. We read that word, don't we? The apostle says this, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. When a woman marries a husband, naturally speaking, because those two become one flesh, whatever that husband inherits, the wife inherits. Oh, when this one hears that this one that the Holy Spirit is pointing out to them and would have them go unto to be his wife is the Son of God. What is the inheritance? Eternal life. Heaven. Oneness with God. Will thou go with this man? But then the truth that he is the Son of Man. The Spirit testifying one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Who is it says, I'll go with this man? The one who is convinced that they need to go to God. They need to obtain the forgiveness of God. They need to obtain the blessing of God. They need to obtain peace with God. They need to obtain acceptance with God. But the one who, through the conviction of the Spirit, knows they can't go alone. Because God cannot receive them on their own. Because they can't do anything to please God. God cannot see anything in them. They know he cannot see anything in them which is acceptable, but only that which is abhorrent. But wilt thou go with this man? The Son of God who became man, that he might be the mediator, the daysman Job speaks of, one who is able to put his hand upon us both. Will thou go with this man? Oh, if the Holy Spirit teaches you of Jesus, under the teaching of that Spirit, you won't need asking twice. No. Oh, this isn't the appeal of ministers, appealing with people to come to Christ and so on. No. Oh, the blessed Spirit of truth. When he convinces us of sin and then convinces us of righteousness, Jesus said, of righteousness because I go to the Father. Lo, glad I come, and thou, blessed Lamb, will take me to thee as I am, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. O Lamb of God, I come. Wilt thou go with this man? But then, though I'm trying to set forth this man as the Lord Jesus Christ, the man that they actually were referring to was the servant. But you know, is one and the same. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks, he speaks not of himself. He omits to speak of what he himself has done. What did Eliezer say to Rebekah? And what did Eliezer say to Laban? What God? He spoke of the word of God. He spoke of the work of God. He spoke of Abraham. He spoke of Isaac. He didn't speak of himself. That's the Spirit. But then, surely the Lord, in bringing his people to Christ, he constrains them to go with the Holy Spirit to this man. Isn't that what the spouse meant when she prayed to her Lord, draw me, we will run after thee. She couldn't have meant, she didn't mean, that if I'm drawn, then other people will come with me. Because that isn't so. Ye should be gathered one by one, O house of Israel. So who is the we in that text? We will run after thee. It's the sinner and the Holy Spirit. Because you've never run after Christ except you've been in the company of the Holy Spirit. And those of you that may be troubled whether you know the Spirit, well, if you've run after Christ, you do know him. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, of those, they cannot receive him, because they know him not. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Wilt thou go with this man? Oh, how suitable. Rebecca, she couldn't come to Christ. She couldn't come to Isaac without Eliezer. And the sinner knows they can't come to Christ without the Holy Spirit. Wilt thou go with this man? I will go. What a venture. And what is it? It's trust, isn't it? Ah, the very essence of salvation in the experience of it. Trust. Trust in the Holy Spirit. Sent by his Father, by the Father in the name of his Son. That is that trust in God to bring me. Suki Harley was given it, wasn't she? Hadn't the Holy Spirit gone to her to find a wife for Christ? He found her in all her ignorance, convinced her of it. Put in her heart this prayer she prayed to the Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. She began to be dissatisfied with the prayer she had prayed. But she didn't know what to pray. And she wasn't satisfied with her prayer, but she didn't know what to pray otherwise. But she was taught to ask the Lord to put a prayer. And she says, this prayer clapped into my heart. Lord, lead me into the saving knowledge of thy Son. And the Spirit kept her praying till she came to the spiritual Isaac. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. But you see, when a woman and a man are married, they have to leave the house. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. And so it is with a wife. You know, the marriage bond is of such a nature. It is much closer than the bond between a father and a daughter. They two shall be one flesh. It cannot work except there be a coming out from your father's house. Hearken, O daughter, consider. Forget thy father's house. This one is thy Lord. Worship thou him. What does this mean in a spiritual sense? The one that is constrained to say, I will go with this man, they have to leave the father's house of natural reason. They have to leave the Father's house of creature works. They have to leave the Father's house of the will of the flesh and venture all on God. God the Spirit to bring them to God the Son, to bring them to God the Father. Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. I will go. Oh, what a step. Naturally speaking, it is a tremendous day in a woman's life when she leaves her father and mother. And likewise with the Son. But what is it? Doesn't everyone go forth? Oh, for they see before them that which is better. And when Rebecca heard of Isaac, she saw, and when she discerned this was the Lord's work, she saw, though, naturally speaking, it is painful for me to leave my house, yeah, made willing. There's a prospect. I mentioned Moses. He had a prospect, didn't he? And though in going with this man you suffer afflictions, like Moses did, he chose to suffer afflictions with the people of God. And if you go with this man, you must bear the afflictions of this man. I thought in the vestry of that, I think I've preached or tried to preach from it here before, that account in Revelation of that war in heaven. The devil was cast out. They overcame him through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Not until death, but unto the death. It's only crucified sinners that come to know the crucified Christ. And those that are crucified, those that come to know the crucified Christ are crucified themselves unto the death. Will they go with this man? What makes a person choose death? The Holy Spirit teaches them that the death they must know, which is the death to all hope in themselves. A death to sin, a death to this world, a death to self, the death of self, is a blessed thing. Because the Lord says, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Because the Lord said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Wilt thou go with this man? Oh, the attraction. His ability to save unto the uttermost. The Spirit speaks of the blood of this man. God's appointed ransom price, of which he said, I found a ransom. What is it to go with this man in this truth concerning his precious blood? To plead it, to venture wholly on it. Will thou go with this man? Oh, when the Holy Spirit convinces you, nothing but thy blood, O Jesus, can relieve me from my smart. Nothing else from guilt release me. Nothing else can seal my peace. Wilt thou go with this man? I think of another question asked thousands of years later of the disciples by the Lord himself. Will he also go away? Many went back and walked no more with him. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But you see, this going with this man, as I've tried to set it forth, taking from the natural illustration, the leaving of the Father, it's such a big thing. Why do we venture then from shore and dare so many deaths to brave? Because the land affrights us more than all the terrors of the wave. And because, as another hymn writer says, Jesus is the pilot. wilt thou go with this man? Firstly, with regard to Eliezer, she put her whole trust in him to bring her to Isaac. And then, when she's brought to Isaac, oh, you see, and this is the scriptural order in marriage. The husband, the head of the wife. Christ, the head of his bride. And oh, how Christ is such an head unto his church. Oh, his love, his mercy, his grace, his words, his wisdom, his protection, his righteousness, his compassions. Oh, the kisses of his mouth, how they make the bride willing for him to be her Lord. He enables her to obey him. Wilt thou go with this man? Yes, for this man the Holy Spirit speaks of is he who has a beauty which he gives unto his bride. He has a fruitfulness to give unto her. Oh, he protects her from every foe. But you see, in going with the man, these people are in that manifest union with him. They must in their measure suffer the things which he suffered. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom. But this man, he hath been tempted in all points like as I am, yet without sin. I'll go with this man, for he is able to succour them that are tempted. Wilt thou go with this man? Oh, it may be in something, in some venture in your life tonight. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Samuel said, didn't he, when he was commanded to go and anoint the future king, the house of Jesse, how can I go? If Saul hear of it, he will kill me. And the Lord said to him, take a sucking lamb and go and make an offering. Wilt thou go with this man? And Samuel went. And those wonderful consequences of that obedience to the word, the command of Almighty God. Oh, is there a mountain before you? This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Wilt thou go with this man? When you go with the Holy Ghost to Christ, you go in prayer to Christ. You go as a poor, undone, unworthy sinner, but sought out. You shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. The Lord bids me come. Wilt thou go with this man? I will go. Oh, this is the ground upon which everyone ventures in obedience to the Lord's commands. Particularly we think now of those ordinances of his house. Wilt thou go with this man? How shall I speak to the church? Oh, I should be just confusion. I can't speak. Go with this man. Oh, the Holy Spirit will enable you, if you venture upon him, he will enable you to speak. He shall be given thee in that hour what you shall speak. And the fear you may have, oh, I fear that I should bring reproach on the Lord's name. You may have fears about the actual ordinance itself. Wilt thou go with this man? Oh, that's it. That's it. You know, if the Holy Spirit testify of Christ to you, shed abroad a little of his love, give you these tokens. You say, well, I don't feel to have got enough to go with. My dear friend, if the Holy Spirit has given you a little faith in Christ, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Wilt thou go with this man? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. It just occurred to me in thinking upon this word, the path Rebecca had before her. She wasn't immediately fruitful, was she? It's some while before there were those twins conceived in her womb. You see how sovereign the Holy Spirit is, how sovereign God is in the way he deals with his people. Perhaps there's one here this evening. You say, well, surely I can't be married to Christ. I'm so unfruitful. The work isn't finished yet. The fact that the work seems to be so small doesn't mean it isn't begun. And then, when those twins were formed in her womb, and they struggled together. And Rebecca said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. So it will be with these that the Holy Spirit brings to Christ. You say, oh, if I'm the bride of Christ, why am I such a sinner still? There's a hymn, isn't there, concerning the pool of Bethesda? The pool of Siloam at the gospel pool. I seem as full of guilt, as full of fear, as full of sin, as when at first I came. Two nations are in thy womb, two manner of people shall come forth, the elder shall serve the younger. Wilt thou go with this man? Oh, the loveliness of Christ. Oh, that blessed companion. That blessed friend that loveth at all times. That brother born for adversity. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Why wilt thou go with this man? Seek his help. Depend wholly upon him. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Oh, his promises. It's upon his promise. Paul says, doesn't he, by the Holy Spirit, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. The pledge. That's those tokens. That's those things the servant gave to Rebecca upon that. Oh, the word he's spoken to you, sinner. He'll never revoke it. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day and take the prayer meeting next Monday evening. And Mr. Hadley will preach next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn number 11. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Number 11.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Lord, do bless it to us. Oh, do blessedly find thy people and bring them to thy Son. And may we be among them. Lord, forgive all amiss. We thank thee for thy help and every remembrance of the work of thy Spirit in any of our hearts. Preserve us safe as we separate, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.